Okay, we're going to break some new ground here. Is my mic working? There it is. I forgot where I had it. Is it working? Okay, he's going to work on that. While he's doing that, we are turning our Bibles over to Matthew chapter 20 and break some new ground here. Beginning in verse 1. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they had came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came that supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he said unto, and he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is mine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many be called, but few are chosen." Now there's a mouthful there with that whole parable, and we won't even, we'll get through about half of it today, but it's a, I love this parable because it speaks so much of God's grace, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But Jesus is doing here with this parable what he often did, taking a common earthly situation and using it to illustrate some kind of a kingdom truth. And this particular parable reveals to us, really more than anything else, the equal and just basis on which people enter into the kingdom of God with God's grace, okay? Both God's sovereignty is emphasized here. His grace is emphasized greatly here. And most everyone that would have been within the sound of the Lord's voice when he gave this parable would have had at least some familiarity with vineyards. Others, honestly, probably could have had a great deal of understanding about the day-to-day operations of a vineyard, because it was a crop, it would essentially be a crop that was common into that area. Okay, it'd be kind of like cotton in our region. It's a common enough crop. There's so much of it that we who have grown up here at least know the basics of cotton. Okay, we might not know a lot of detail, but we know that come fall they're going to start picking cotton. Come spring, early summer, they're going to start planting cotton, and we kind of got the general basics of that. Well, that's the way it would have been in that region at that time. Most everybody was somewhat familiar with a vineyard. So using the vineyard to illustrate a spiritual truth makes perfect sense. And Jesus, of course, everything he did made perfect sense. So producing grapes in a vineyard required a number of different tasks throughout the year. Obviously, planting new vines, pruning the old vines, trying to keep things irrigated, harvesting the grapes in late summer and early fall is my understanding when they would harvest the grapes. And these were some of the basic seasonal tasks that had to be done, things that were pretty apparent to most everybody that they had to do those things. But there were other less obvious tasks that had to be done throughout the year that might not meet the eye, and not the least of which was terrace building. Now, I read a lot about this. It's pretty interesting. Most vineyards in and around that region, around Israel and that the Middle Eastern area, were planted along hillsides. It was very hilly country in most areas, and they would utilize the land on the hillsides that might otherwise be kind of wasted land, not used a lot. And so in order to expand their operation, they would have to go on those hillsides and they would have to build terraces on the hillside, which was really back-breaking work. They would go in there and they would, you guys kind of know what a terrace is, don't mean to insult anybody's intelligence, but they would build, dig out horizontal tiers on the hillside, and the stones that would be uncovered during that digging would be used to build small retaining walls on the outer edge of that tier that they're building. And then oftentimes more fertile soil would have to be from down below, below the hill in the bottom land, if you will. Soil from there would have to be hauled all the way up the hill and fill in those tiers, or what would ultimately be a terrace. And so this was a very, very involved situation here for the builders of the vineyard, and this kind of work would have been going on quite often. But they were building new terraces and maintaining the old terraces, of course, with being built on the hillside, with the, if a torrential rain come and it would wash out certain places in the terrace, and that'd have to be repaired and things like this. And so these are things that were ongoing, as well as the regular tending of the grapes. And at particular times of the year, grape production and everything that was involved could be really labor intensive, more so than other times of the year. So a householder, and that's what he's referred to here in the parable, which really is just referring to the landowner, the guy that owned the vineyard, in an effort to be most efficient or most economical, they would keep only so many servants or so many employees on the payroll year-round as needed, which meant in the more demanding times of the year, when there was a lot more labor to be done, they would go to a nearby town or village and go to the marketplace, and they would hire temporary laborers and take them to the vineyard, okay? And so I say all that to say this. I'm no more familiar with Middle Eastern grape production than you are. I read all this stuff, and it was very interesting. I wanted to pass it on to you so we kind of get a little bit of a background before we go into this parable. I also discovered that in a typical scenario, the laborers that are being spoken of here that were got at the marketplace or in the village, okay, would have been in reality probably unskilled laborers, just basic common unskilled laborers, most of which would have probably been lower class, considered lower class socially. One deal said that they wouldn't have been much more than beggars. They just basically worked from job to job, from day to day, as opportunity provided. In other words, these weren't career guys. These weren't company men. These were just common everyday laborers, just kind of living from hand to mouth. And they would gather early in the morning at the marketplace and be available to hire, and just hope that that somebody'd come along and put them to work. Because they were unskilled, and because of their kind of
desperation for work, they were very vulnerable. They were in a position of vulnerability that really they were at the mercy of those who would hire them. So oftentimes, this disadvantaged situation they were in would result in them being overworked and underpaid, just really treated badly, okay, and not given a break. And so your typical religious Jew would have known what was right and what was wrong pertaining to these type situations, and they would have, if they were a good godly Jewish person, they would not capitalize on those situations. In other words, not take advantage of these vulnerable laborers, because the Bible would teach them, their Bible, the Jewish Bible at that time, was what we now call the Old Testament, okay? Well, that was their Bible, and I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that reveal to them and then reveal to us today what God's take is on this whole situation. And one of them is in Leviticus chapter 19, and it just basically gives us a picture of how God expects his people to treat the poor and the downtrodden. And so we begin in verse 13. It says, "Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning." What he's saying there is you pay these people a decent wage, a fair wage, and you pay them promptly at the end of every day, because oftentimes these people were in a position that they had to have that every day, that sustenance, to be able to feed their families the following day. And they would be dependent upon that, okay? And God's saying, be considerate of these downtrodden people's situation, how they're having to live. I think we all could learn from this to some extent. God reiterates this in a couple of chapters later over in Deuteronomy chapter 24, and we'll read verse 15. It says this, "At his day thou shalt give," he's speaking of these people in these same positions, these laborers, "give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it." In other words, God's saying, he's a poor man, he's dependent upon this. He's expecting to get paid. And God's saying, don't wait, don't hold back his wages for a day or two, pay him at the end of the week. You be prepared to pay him at the end of the day. Watch this. "Lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee." So, in other words, he's saying, pay them decent, pay them a fair wage, and pay them at the end of the day. And be failing to do so, failing to consider these impoverished people's situation and be compassionate, would be equal to sin. God's saying, you're sinning against me if you don't take care of these. And I'll just interject this, and then we'll move on with our parable. But I think sometimes we do so well in life. God blesses us, especially here as Americans, and because we're Christians, God makes our lives more functional, and more functional becomes more successful, better incomes, better jobs, because we are more functional because of what Christ has done with me. I can tell you quite frankly, if I hadn't got saved, I probably wouldn't be making minimum wage right now because of the way I was. Okay, so God does that in our lives, and it's really easy to, especially when you listen to the political jargon, it's real easy to begin to look down upon people that in our mind, I won't say in our mind, but sometimes in our mind, we consider deadbeats, when really we don't know their situation. And we've got to have big hearts and compassionate. And it's just God has a big heart, and he's compassionate, and he expects it of us. So let's move on here. Failure to consider the downtrodden, God says that's a sin, okay? Don't be doing that. So all of this is the background as we look into the truths of this parable. And so let's begin in verse 1. Once again, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder," or landowner, "which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent unto them into his vineyard. Now, a penny, what the word that's rendered penny here is a denarius, okay? We've spoke of that before. A denarius was a coin that was, as far as value goes, it was equal to what a Roman soldier would be paid per day, okay? So really, this landowner, which, by the way, is very much a picture of God our Father, okay, throughout this parable. We'll see more of that. But he goes far beyond what is equitable as far as pay to these laborers. He's given them basically what would be equal to a Roman soldier, which would be very dependable, reliable, adequate pay, okay? So you see the benevolence and the blessings this man's already bestowing on these people. It's really quite generous for people that are in that position. And the Jewish workday began at 6 a.m. How'd you like that, okay? Now, some of you do, but most of us don't. But the Jewish workday began at 6 a.m. And so the first hour of the day, these first laborers are being chosen to go to work in the vineyard. They've got an early start here. And so now we move on to the next group. 3 hours later, we see this in verse 3. It says, "And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard." Now watch the difference here. "And whatsoever is right, I will give you." And they went their way. Now notice, this is 3 hours later. In the third hour he speaks of here, that would have been 9 a.m. They're getting a later start here, okay, on their day. And notice he doesn't tell them what their wage is going to be like he did the first group. He told the first group, "Hey, you're going to get a denarius. You know what you're going to make today," okay? They start at 6 a.m. These guys are starting at 9 a.m., and basically he just gives them the promise of fairness. Whatever it's, I think it's worth, that's what I'll give you. And so that's the third hour, okay? Then verse 5 records two more visits. To get more laborers, and I feel like this vine dresser has all his money tied up in fuel going back and forth to town, looks like to me. but he's a picture of God, so we're not going to question that, okay? Verse 5 says, "And he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise," okay? So he went out a third and a fourth time. First time would have been the sixth hour, which would be noon, okay? Those laborers are getting started at noon. Then the next group would be 3 p.m. Man, they're way into the day at 3 p.m. in the ninth hour, and they have the same promise of a fair wage. Doesn't tell them how much, just gives them a promise of a fair wage, and off they go into the vineyard. Then the landowner makes one last trip to town, and our text gives us a little more detail about the exchange on this last group. It begins in verse 6, "And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and he saith unto them, Why stand ye here all day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." So this is the 11th hour, folks. That's 5 o'clock p.m. This is a full 11 hours after the first group was hired for a denarius and went into the vineyard. And the landowner questions them. He asks them a question, why they had not yet gone to work, why they had not yet been hired by anybody. And their response makes it very clear that it wasn't their fault. It wasn't that they had been lazy. It wasn't they had refused any offers. They simply had not had the opportunity. Now, all we can do is speculate, but based on the wording and the way the parable is told, it's not that they were at fault. They literally had not had a chance. Now, perhaps it could have been some older men. could have been somebody that was maybe weaker in stature, didn't look like he would be a good worker. It could be that they were even, some of them, handicapped, had some kind of disability or something that would make them, their potential employers, bypass them and say, hey, I'd rather get somebody else. We really don't know. Whatever the case is, they'd been passed over at no fault of their own. And so we're going to leave off right here until next week, and we'll see the full meaning of the parable, okay, and the explanation of it. But in closing, let's just notice just a few characteristics of the landowner, again, which in the parable represents God the Father, okay? First of all, he goes beyond what is fair and equitable, and it is absolutely generous in everything he does, in his dealings with everybody that he hired to go work in his vineyard, okay? And that says that, again, that's a great picture of our Father. Secondly, it's obvious that this is less about his needs back at the vineyard, and it's more about the laborers needing work and him providing the work, okay? That becomes very apparent. If that paints a picture of God's big and compassionate heart. He doesn't need us, folks, but he knows how bad we need him, and he welcomes us, and he knows how we desperately need admittance into his kingdom and into a relationship with him. He knows that, and so he does what is necessary to act on our behalf to make it possible, okay? And thirdly, though they didn't So they did go to the vineyard and they did labor once they arrived at the vineyard, they did nothing, zero, to merit the opportunity that he has given them to go and work in the vineyard. In other words, these guys had nothing particular. They didn't stand out with a bunch of skills, or they weren't professional vineyard workers or anything else. They really had nothing to offer. It was a complete act of grace on behalf of this landowner to go and continue to go and to continue to go back and pick up these laborers and give them opportunity to work in his vineyard, which is a picture of you and I serving in the kingdom of God. Okay, so the next time we will look at further at God's amazing grace as is pictured in this parable. Okay, let's go ahead and stand. And we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Hope you ladies have a good trip. Leave out of here 8:30 Friday morning, and we'll also see the rest of you back here on Sunday, okay? All right, good deal. JP, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?